Life Incidents by James S. White. Chapter, Mrs. White's Experience. Here I must introduce the part which the Spirit of God has led Mrs. W. to act in connection with this cause. I do this, number one, because her experience and labors have been closely connected with its rise and progress. Number two, because of the spirit of prejudice and enmity existing against her calling and labors. This is manifested by those who are ignorant of the facts in the case, or if not wholly ignorant, are led by a spirit of frenzied persecution. The bearing which this has upon the cause is a sufficient reason for laying the facts as they are before the public. Number three, because of the importance of her work in connection with this cause, as will be seen in the following pages. It was but a few weeks after the passing of the time, in 1844, that she had her first vision. The circumstances of this manifestation are briefly stated by Mrs. W. as follows. I visited Sister H., one of our Advent sisters, whose heart was knit with mine. In the morning we bowed at the family altar. It was not an exciting occasion. There were but five of us present, all females. While praying, the power of God came upon me, as I never had felt it before. I was surrounded with light, and was rising higher and higher from the earth, etc. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 2, page 30. Her condition in vision may be described as follows. Number one, she is utterly unconscious of everything transpiring around her, as has been proved by the most rigid tests, but views herself as removed from this world and in the presence of heavenly beings. Number two, she does not breathe. During the entire period of her continuance in vision, which has at different times ranged from 15 minutes to 3 hours, there is no breath, and has been repeatedly proved by pressing upon the chest and by closing the mouth and nostrils. Number three, immediately on entering vision, her muscles become rigid and joints fixed, so far as any external force can influence them. At the same time, her movements and gestures, which are frequent, are free and graceful, and cannot be hindered nor controlled by the strongest person. Number four, on coming out of vision, whether in the daytime or a well-lighted room at night, all is total darkness. Her power to distinguish even the most brilliant objects held within a few inches of the eyes returns but gradually, sometimes not being fully established for 3 hours. This has continued for the past 20 years, yet her eyesight is not in the least impaired, few persons having better than she now possesses. She has probably had during the past 23 years between 100 and 200 visions. These have been given under almost every variety of circumstance, yet maintaining a wonderful similarity, the most apparent change being that of late years they have grown less frequent, but more comprehensive. She has been taken off in vision most frequently when bowed in prayer. Several times, while earnestly addressing the congregation, unexpectedly to herself and to all around her, she has been instantly prostrated in vision. This was the case June 12, 1868, in the presence of not less than 200 Sabbath keepers in the house of worship in Battle Creek, Michigan. On receiving baptism at my hands, at an early period of her experience, as I raised her up out of the water, immediately she was in vision. Several times, when prostrated by sickness, she has been relieved in answer to the prayer of faith and taken off in vision. At such times, her restoration to usual health has been wonderful. At another time, when walking with friends, in conversation upon the glories of the kingdom of God, as she was passing through the gate before her father's house, the Spirit of God came upon her, and she was instantly taken off in vision. And what may be important to those who think the visions the result of mesmerism, she has a number of times been taken off in vision when in prayer alone in the grove or in the closet. it may be well to speak as to the effect of the visions upon her constitution and strength. When she had her first vision, she was an emaciated invalid, given up by her friends and physicians to die of consumption. She then weighed but 80 pounds. Her nervous condition was such that she could not write, and was dependent on one sitting near her at the table to even pour her drink from the cup to the saucer. And notwithstanding her anxieties and mental agonies, in consequence of her duty to bring her views before the public, her labors in public speaking, and in church matters generally, her wearisome travels and home labors and cares, her health and physical and mental strength have improved from the day she had her first vision. As to the character of the visions, I only wish to state at present that this may be learned by reading the several volumes of Spiritual Gifts for sale at the Review Office. As to their fruits and the nature of the opposition they have met, I shall speak more fully hereafter. Thank you for listening to this audiobook brought to you by Advent Pioneer Books. We hope you have enjoyed these recordings. To purchase more books of the Adventist Pioneers, or to listen to our free audio recordings, please visit us on the web at AdventPioneerBooks.com. Or to listen to books by Mrs. E.G. White, visit us at TruthForTheEndTime.com. You may contact us by phone in the United States at area code 423-991-5346. Or write us at Advent Pioneer Books, P.O. Box 1756, Collegedale, Tennessee, 37315. May God richly bless you as you continue to listen to His words.